What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Chris DeSellums, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What's up? Back again. Another exciting week in the Rangers-Islanders hockey world, or maybe more so the Rangers world, but yeah, good to be back. Been a long week. Hope everybody enjoyed their long weekend if they had it. I did. I know a lot of people didn't, including yourself, but... Well, you kind of had it halfway, but
had a half long weekend. Yeah, I took a half day on Monday.
Yeah, so if anybody had a nice long weekend, hope it was the case, because back at it today. But yeah, good to be back. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Watched some Rangers hockey for the first time, like a little over
a year
week and a half. Yeah, it felt really long. And honestly, what's crazy is it felt normal for it not to be on, and I was just like, I was thinking about it as like the day was coming up to like. For them to play again, I was like, I almost didn't want them to play because I'm like, I'm happy that I'm not stressed. Like, I wasn't stressed for about a week and a half dealing with this team. I'm like,
all the games, all the garbage. Yep, I hear you.
But they came back and they played some games. You know, it is what it is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're just gonna jump right into it. Yeah, I mean, the Rangers
not too much on the agenda today, I would say.
They played three games. Their first game was against Boston last week. So yeah, we're a week removed from that.
Yep.
I don't really remember that game too well. I know Marchand wasn't playing. Bergeron was still out. It was a 2-1 game. Charlie Coyle got the first goal in the first period. No goals in the second period, and the three goals in the third period. So Philip Hedel scored.
Wasn't this the name of the?
Oh, it was a shootout.
Shootout.
Yes,
with Mr. Ryan Strom.
Oh my God, dude! No, it wasn't. It wasn't. That was the
different
next game. That was the next.
Game. Oh man, that was the next back-to-back game. Back-to-back shootouts.
Yeah. So yeah, this was Philip Hedel scored to tie it up, and then the shootout. DeBrusk scored. Mika scored. Pasta missed. Panarin scored. Coyle scored. Laugh missed. Eric Howla missed. Fox missed. Hall missed. Ryan Strome missed. McAvoy missed. Kreider missed.
Frederick missed. This was like a wild shootout. Hedel missed.
Yeah, it was a 9-round shootout.
It's like Foligno with the Isles had against the Flyers. It feels much longer than 9 rounds, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hunt missed. Smith missed. And then Keandre Miller scored the game winner.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
I think it was his first ever shootout too. So
yeah, I can't imagine him having too many experiences before that.
And a funny quote that came out of that game was two funny things. One, Reeves, who's like the best guy on the team right now. I fucking love Reeves. Don't like him. He doesn't contribute anything on the ice, but like just vibe wise, he's great.
You need those character guys sometimes. So a lot of the times to win in the NHL, you got to have those.
I think he's the reason why the locker room is so great. Like, I just think he's a big locker room guy. But he is one of those players that was grandfathered into not having to wear a visor on his bucket.
Yeah. So which is always pretty sick.
Yeah, so like he's, I think, the only guy on the team with that. So
probably he was able, knowing how young the team is.
So he was able to he had a rally helmet on, so he turned his helmet around as Kreider was going to shoot. There's a picture of him on the bench with his helmet on backwards. It just looks so funny. But then the funny quote that came out of that game was from Trouba, because you know they're going into like round 7, round 8, and they're running out of guys to send out there. And Trouba's sitting next to Reeves, and he was like, I don't know, Revo looked pretty nervous, which is making me pretty nervous, because it was like, who's going to get called first? Because if everyone keeps missing, one of us is going to go. And Trouba's like, I really couldn't go because I only got one move. And then like one of the reporters is like, oh, like, what is it? He goes, I can't tell you because it's my only
That's
move.
Your
like,
own
if
move,
I tell
yeah.
you, I'm gonna be screwed if I get called for a shootout. So
I wish that it would have been funny if Reeves shot. That would have been quite electric.
It would have. But yeah, no, that game was long, pretty strenuous. I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel this way after watching. And I felt this way for a while. Charlie Coyle on the Wild was fine. I didn't care like about him. I thought,
yeah, you never
guy.
See the Wild anyway.
Yeah, you never really see him play. I was just like, oh, he seems like a good guy. And ever since he's been on the Bruins, I can't stand him. He
really?
Is just like, yeah, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I see him play more now. I'm like, oh, like he must have just been like a really underrated player on the Wild, and like
he's
I
a
just
big
never
boy.
Realized
he's
how good he is.
He's skilled.
Yeah, he's very good, and I don't like it because like he's I don't want to say he's a rat like Marshawn, because you can't reach that level of rat.
Uh-huh.
But like the way he plays the game, he just gets under your skin because he plays a physical game, but he still has some skill. And yeah. It's like he's playing on like the third line, so it's against guys who are young guys. So he kind of understands, like, he could just bully him around a little bit. So it's just like I got very frustrated watching him. I'm like, God. And then he scored twice, obviously, which annoyed me.
I didn't notice him in the playoff series with the Isles and the Bruins. I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you if he played. I don't remember hearing his name at all. So I don't know. I don't have the same opinion, but I know he's a big, I think he's like 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah, he's a big guy.
On skates. He's very skilled. I forget how they got him. I don't really remember what trade it was.
They traded for him.
They did trade for him.
At a deadline a few years ago.
Yeah, that was a weird one, but it worked out well. I mean, he's a good player, but I don't remember him from the playoff series, but he kind of fits that Boston mold. Big, gets in your face, annoying, but also skilled. So have to give him credit there for that find.
Sorry, I had to take a sip of water.
Gotta stay hydrated. Yep.
I looked it up. So he got traded at the 2019 deadline Donato and a fifth.
That's right. That's what it was. That's a pretty good deal for Boston, man. Pretty dang good deal.
And then I think they re-signed him recently too. So
he's like 6x6 or something like that.
Yeah. Then the Rangers played against the Red Wings a few days later, which also went to a shootout. And the Red Wings, they're not a bad team, but they're not sneaky. A great team.
They're sneaky. They'll get there. They got to.
Oh, they're gonna be good in like two years from now, or maybe even like I don't think next year they'll take another step, but I think like 2 years from now they'll probably be a playoff team again.
Yeah.
They went up early, and then the Rangers tied it, and then I think a minute later, literally I think 30, 40 seconds later, Larkin scored to put them up 2-1 again, and then Mika scored midway, a little after the midway point of the third period. To tie it up. The shootout was, or not the shootout, the overtime was really fun. There was a couple chances for both teams, I think. Larkin had a shot towards the tail end of the game that almost went in. Oh, back to the Bruins game real quick. So I texted you this, but I totally forgot about this. It is I am all for the NHL being like concussion protocol. If we think
you take a hit, I forgot about this.
We'll pull you. So in the overtime, I forget who it was, but someone went into Igor. They didn't really like skate into him, but like it was just kind of, they collided. Igor went back, and Igor gets up, and he's playing. You know, they get the puck out and everything, and he's playing. He's getting himself situated again, and he's just blinking a lot and a lot. Like, just kind of, like, just getting himself back into it. I mean, he was blinking a lot. And I can understand, like, it would
That's a dead giveaway, pretty much.
Scare you if, like, he was concussed. But, like, he's just standing there, just kind of, like, shaking his head, blinking a little bit. They let him play for, like, another minute and a half before they called down and said, oh, he might be concussed.
But then again, on the flip side, though, just to play devil's advocate, like, you can't pull him too early. So I feel like they had to review the tape at least a little bit.
A minute, sure, 30 seconds, sure, if it's like, oh, the puck went out of play or anything, but like they let him play, they were still shooting on him, like they got another couple shots off.
It's a minute, a tough situation,
for sure. A minute and a half went by, and then they went, oh, you got to pull him, we got to do concussion protocol on him, and he gets pulled from the game. And I mean, he's livid. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm speaking to you right now, I am perfectly fine. He's skating fine. He's making the saves. They shot on him. He made this. It wasn't like he was like delayed in his reactions or anything. So Georgiev goes in for the remaining, I think, 44 seconds at that point. I've never been on the edge of my seat before like I was. Just because I'm like, this guy.
Did he face any shots?
I don't even think he did.
I feel like one good shot from Marshawn, that game's over. Because he's cold. Like
Marshawn wasn't playing.
He's right. He is suspended. One good shot for Pasternak, and he's over. Minus one.
Pasta sucked that game. The Rangers played really good against him. I mean, he was like lifeless that game.
I feel like he's having a tough year. I don't know how accurate that statement is. I'm going to look it up, but I feel like he's not lighting it up like Pasta was used to.
He's very quiet that year.
Okay,
that
game.
he's got 27 goals and 49 points in 50 games, and you feel like it's been a very, very quiet point per game season for Pasta.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, he's having a sneaky good season, but he was quiet that game. They I don't know why. Like, I guess just because they realized he was their only threat. So if you
wasn't Bergeron kinda, out too?
Yeah, Bergeron wasn't playing. Yeah. It was really so just him and McAvoy. So
that's basically probably part of it.
Yeah, or a so lot he was just he was quiet that game, but yeah, Igor comes out for the shootout, and then fucking what's that guy? I don't want to say it's Jack Adams. It's Jack something.
Edwards.
Yeah, that's what Edwards. Yeah. he said that Igor flopped, and it was and he was like, "This is what you get for flopping."
Oh yeah,
you
he's the biggest homer of all time.
Oh my god, dude! Everyone's like, "Shut up!" And then some other guy who the Rangers fans kind of tore apart. Jack Haggerty, I think he's a beat reporter for Boston.
Joe Haggerty. Yeah, he's another homer.
He was getting flamed left and right. So yeah, that's how that game ended. But yeah, so back to Red Wings Rangers. So that game also goes to a shootout. Raymond scored. He's unreal. That kid is going to be so legit.
The fact that he's 19 just
he's going to be so legit.
Makes me feel sad about my life. He's just the guy is 5 years younger than us. Like, hate to see it. The guy's lighting up the league, but him and Sider, they're going to be nasty. I feel like it always comes up on here, but they're going to be disgusting. But yeah,
oh yeah, him and Sider. Gonna be so sick. Yeah, so Raymond scored, Mika scored, Larkin missed, Panarin missed, Ernie missed, Fox missed, and Fox could have won. I think he lost control of the puck, and that's why, yeah, both him and Ernie, they lost control of the puck, so they weren't even able to get a shot off. Bertuzzi, he missed, Laff missed again. Sam Gagne score, or he missed.
Sam Gagne is like one of the nastiest shootout guys of all time. Guys, yeah,
I don't remember what his goal looked like, but Igor really didn't move. But Ryan Strome, man,
unbelievable. I mean, he did that a couple times with the Islanders too. He's just one of those guys.
And he did like a troll video over the summer where he was like just shooting like a foot and a half out from a net on like an empty net, and he just kind of put like seven shots in, and he's like, there you go, like working on my empty net game, haha. And yeah, I mean,
yeah, joke's on you.
It wasn't Halak, who was Grice. He jumped out of the net. Like, he just dove out.
He's a flying poke check machine. He did that against Crosby in the playoffs, or maybe not the playoffs, but the regular season a couple years ago in overtime. So electric. He's very good at it. He did miss this one.
Like, I didn't think he was going to do it in a shootout. He just leaps out and dodges him and kind of like loses the puck, but regains the puck and has a wide open net and misses. He shoots it wide. And I was just like,
the picture's hilarious.
I honestly wasn't even like mad or anything. I immediately just started laughing because like, you cannot make this shit up. Like, we joke about how he can't hit an open net, and it's legit fact at this point. Like, he just cannot score open net goals. So that was funny. Suter scored, and then Filippito missed. Kind of a weird guy to send out there with the game on the line. Heedle. I don't know why. I mean, he almost.
Who else did you put out, though, is the question. Crider didn't go. That's a weird one.
Yeah,
Crider he's not really didn't a shootout shoot. Guy, though. Is he? He's like Anders Lee. All of his goals are out front of the net, really.
I mean, he's on the – I think every shootout we've had so far this season, I think he's gone out, and I think the winner once. Yeah, I mean, Kako wasn't available. So it was just weird sending Heedle out. I wasn't mad at it, but
it's your boy.
Yeah. So it is what it is. So the Rangers end up losing that game, and then they played Ottawa on Sunday. They won that game. That was a weird game too. 5 o'clock game, just a weird start time.
Disgusting. Yeah.
5 o'clock game in Ottawa. They go down 1-0 early. Tim Stützle scored. I don't know. I didn't know that's how you pronounce his name. Yeah. Stützle.
I thought it was Stützle, but I've heard them say Stützle, so I'm assuming that the professionals are right.
Oh yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I just call him Stützle.
Yeah, that's what I said. But
yeah, so Stützle scored, German boy. And then And Strome made up for his weak performance in the shootout the game before, and he scored. Panarin, I think, he got a secondary assist. Schneider got an assist there, so that was awesome. And then Panarin scored in the second period off of a sick power play goal, just a snapshot. And that was about it. It was a 2-1 game, pretty boring after that. Rangers probably could have went up 3-1 or 4-1 if they really wanted to, but Ottawa held them to a good game. So the naysayers and some of the trolls on Rangers Twitter said, well, the
haters and losers.
Yeah, the haters and losers, which there are many of. They said, if Ottawa, who is a not great team, held the Rangers to only 2 goals, the playoffs are going to stink, which is not necessarily 100% false.
One game of the regular season. Oh, boy.
But So I was like, whatever. So the Rangers are back in action on Thursday against the Capitals. And I think it's the first time they've played them since the opener. So
yeah, it seems like it, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they've played them since.
Give me Reeves versus Wilson. Gotta happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking
Reeves didn't play the opener, right? He was hurt.
No, he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did, because him and Ovechkin were giving each other tummy sticks at one of the face-offs. So this is the first time they're playing Washington since the opener. So hopefully it's a better game. Obviously, you don't want to lose that game again in the fashion that you did. But they kind of got a tough schedule ahead. They play Washington on Thursday, Pittsburgh on Saturday, and then Vancouver on Sunday. They're home for Washington at Pittsburgh, and then home against Vancouver on Sunday night. So, I don't know, man. It's looking like this could be potential 3 losses for the Rangers. If they could pull one victory out, Vancouver's not great, but to have to travel to Pittsburgh and then back to New York is a pain in the ass. You're not losing time, but then Saturday is weird. The Saturday game at 3 p.m.
Oh, of course. The normal 3 p.m. slot.
Who doesn't love a 3 p.m. game on a Saturday afternoon?
It's like Seton Hall. They're playing at 3:30 on Saturday. Like, what the fuck? Oops. But yeah.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much that. We'll shift over to Islanders.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of losses for both teams this week. All is definitely not well.
Hey, you know, like world.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how many games did you play? Three?
Three.
Okay. Fair enough. That's fair. It feels
five points, 5 out of 6 points, baby.
It feels like the one game you talked about was a loss, but hey, pull it out. There you go. But yeah, Islanders Tuesday after we recorded, I think I said they were going to lose to the Sabres and this would be the death note, and they lost to the Sabres. So that was really fun. They lost. This is my personal favorite of the week. They lost to Dustin Tokarski and Andrew Hammond. Andrew Hammond hasn't won a game in 4 years in the NHL. Or he hasn't played a game in 4 years. I don't think he's won a game in 6 years since he was the Hamburglar. So very brutal. But back to the Sabres game. Okposo scored first. Palmieri got 2 in that game. So that's good to see him heating up. He said he was a second half player, or Trotz said that he was a second half player, whatever it was. So he got back in it, but Islanders gave up a shorthanded goal and then a late power play to Olofsson, who scored, and then 2 empty netters. So I mean, you can't give up it was a shorthanded goal in the second period. And then at the end of the second period, they gave up a goal with 0.6 seconds left. So that was pretty nice of them to do. So you can't keep giving up those late goals. It's been a theme of the whole season. So that was pretty annoying, just especially given the whole circumstances of nice cat appearance that people can't see. But
oh, God, there she is.
Jingling away, jumping around, but yeah.
Oh, and I got a funny story when you're done with this.
Giving up a goal with a second left is just unacceptable. So loss to the Sabres, nothing exciting there. A couple weak runs from Sorokin, including the goal with a second left. Then they moved on to Boston, played a great game. Arguably their best game of the year. They looked like the Islanders in the playoffs. Taylor Hall got one early. The Islanders responded with 4 straight goals. Peugeot, Dobson, Barzell, Nelson. They looked awesome. I mean, they outshot them 29-27. They were a bit worse on the faceoffs, but more hits. Like I said, more shots, better on the power play. The crowd was rocking. It was like awesome to see. I almost went to the game, but couldn't get home in time to come back on Friday. But that's like the team that you would expect to see all the time. And Barzell even said in his post game interview, like, that was championship caliber hockey. Which of course they followed up with the total egg of a game in against Montreal, but we'll get to that. Barzal kind of slid in a little dig at the whole season, but he was like, yeah, you know, when our defensemen are pinching up and moving the puck well, then we're a really different team and we can play really well. And I was like, that sounds like a dig at Zdeno Chara and what he's done for the Islanders. So that was a bit of an indication, I think, of what's maybe perhaps frustrating Barzal, the fact that he's not getting the puck so smoothly from his defensemen. But it was an awesome game. My parents were there. They said the atmosphere was electric. It felt like the playoffs, or at least the end of the season of old. So it's a shame that things kind of went the way that they went after the fact. But they played a great game, and it was kind of awesome to see, especially being the Bruins. It's always a nice little treat. We've had their number for the last 2 years, and haven't really had that in the past, so that's been pretty cool. But they, of course, followed that up with a loss to the Hamburglar, Andrew Hammond, in Montreal. Guy made 30 saves on 32 shots, which was pretty sick of him. Went down 1-0 again. They give up the first goal every damn game. It's so annoying. They play from behind every game. The Islanders just don't have the skill to chase the game right now. So that's honestly where most of their fault comes. But Palmieri got another one. And then Josh Anderson, last minute of the period, high short side goal, another bad goal to give up at the time and by Sorokin. So that was a bit rough. And then Brock Nelson gets one with 3 minutes left before the shootout, where Sorokin gives up two goals on two shots, and Barzal and Nelson are denied. And that's just the end of it. So it's a real shame. You just can't lay kind of goose eggs. It's obviously not a shutout, but you can't lay those kind of eggs against teams like Montreal, who, that was their 11th win of the season, which is pretty sad. At least they didn't lose in regulation, but good play by Kiefer Bellows to trip the puck up on the last play. He's finally coming around. By the last play, I mean the goal by Brock Nelson. Had a nice assist on Barzal's goal in Boston, getting the puck on net, then fighting for a rebound. Got that nice chip play, which wasn't easy to do. And Barry's kind of saying that it's about time that he's an NHL everyday player. So that's pretty cool to see. I think he's kind of on the same trajectory. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good Rangers comparison, but it's good to see Bellows finally getting some leeway and some rain. So that's good to see for sure. You're muted, by the way.
Thought I unmuted myself.
No big deal.
Whoops. Yeah, I was going to say, you love to see that from your about younger time. Players. Yeah.
I hope he gets an everyday spot. It's tough when you have Parise and who else is on there? Clutterbuck, which we'll get to in a little bit. And Palmieri and Bailey. But he deserves to be in the lineup every day. I don't think he's a game changer by any means, but he's better and more energetic. He's got a better shot than 90% of the team, besides probably Pulock and Wallstrom and Barzal. So, I mean, you might as well just put him on the damn team and just see what he can do. He was a first-round pick. He deserves a chance. If you don't have anything, then you don't have anything. So just got to move on. But yeah, so bit of a disappointing week for sure, going 1-1-1, which doesn't sound bad in theory, but when it's against the Sabres and the Canadiens, where you get your two losses, where you could have probably strung together three straight wins. I mean, they were all winnable games, even dating back to last week with Edmonton and Calgary. Those are two winnable games. You could have strung together 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight wins going into Seattle tonight. But alas, that is not how things go.
Yeah, no. Just jumping into the Clutterbuck stuff.
Yeah.
Quickly. Larry Brooks put out, he saw that article Staple put out a week ago and decided that he's going to reclaim his throne as the clickbait king, and basically put an article out saying that the Rangers need someone on their team like Cal Clutterbuck, which, sure, on most years, if the Rangers weren't having trouble scoring on five on five and they needed another guy on the penalty kill, maybe a guy to just kind of take a fourth line spot, maybe third line at most. Yeah. Just to kind
I love Cal Clutterbuck. He's honestly probably my favorite Islander, but I wouldn't put him anywhere above the fourth line.
Yeah. It was just insane for him to insinuate that that was the move the Rangers should make when they're having trouble scoring 5-on-5. And this is a guy who hasn't scored a goal in 20-plus games at this point, or 20 games at this point, I think.
Has it been that long? I don't know.
That's what fans were saying. Fans were saying it's been like 20 games at least.
You don't get Clutterbuck for the playoff run for his goals. He's got a wicked wrist shot.
You have to give him that. But he doesn't – he utilizes it a lot. He doesn't score a lot, probably partially because he's playing with Cizikas and Martin. But regardless, like, he's a guy that you get to set the tone, set the energy, hit a lot of people, agitate a lot of people, and just cause a ruckus in the playoffs, which is what you need. But is it what the Rangers need more so than no. the Avalanche or, like, the Wild?
Exactly.
I don't think so.
I think the Rangers need someone to help generate offense at 5v5 because – we've seen that they have one of the better power. They have one of the best penalty kills in the league right now. They have guys in the fourth line that are basically doing what Clutterbuck is doing. They have a really good power play. So it's like all of the boxes that he would normally check off for the needs for a team to make a deep playoff push are not needs the Rangers need. The Rangers need someone who's going to help drive offense at even strength because they cannot drive offense at even strength. They struggle at that. They've struggled with it all season, especially with Kako being out. Hedl was out for a little bit of time. So when you're playing around with Greg McKegan, your third line, if you switch him with Cal Clutterbuck, that doesn't it's kind of like it's not a net negative, it's not it's a positive,
it's definitely an upgrade.
It's a slight upgrade, but
it's
not
a big saying, upgrade.
Sure, but it's
not
my what point
you
need. Is
I'm not saying that you should do it.
No,
I'm
yeah,
it's
my
a big
point
upgrade.
Is more so my point is more saying it's like those guys are going to do the same thing and it's not going to drive offense.
Yeah, no, for sure. Also,
Greg McKegan sucks. I think, and I've been on the podcast saying it for the last, I think, month at this. I'm done with him. I just don't want him on this team anymore. And he keeps getting shots over guys like Morgan Barron and other guys in the minor league system. So it's just kind of like, I wouldn't necessarily want Clutterbuck on the team to just kind of take another spot from a kid who deserves to get a shot.
Also, just to clear the Ryan Brooks there, it's like, it's never going to happen. Unless the Islanders trade him to somewhere else and then the Rangers say, okay, like we'll make a deal with you. The Islanders and Rangers have made one trade since 1973, and it was Jyrki Niemi for a 6th-round pick in 2010. Jyrki Niemi played 0 NHL games. He has not played since Finland in 2018. There is zero shot the Islanders trade Cal Clutterbuck or Andy Green to give any more chance to the Rangers to win a Stanley Cup in this season. I think there's basically no chance. I'm shocked that the Rangers and the Devils made the Michael Grabner trade a few years ago. And I think it's even more implausible that the Islanders and Rangers make a trade. But
it kind of goes into hand in hand with this next point I'm going to make. It's the same reason why I'm like, oh, Pavelski or bust at this point. Because it's like, yeah, sure.
I noticed love that was your Zencaster name as well.
Would I love a Claude Giroux on this team? Would he fill a lot of the boxes that need to get checked off? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but you know what, you don't know why he's never going to be a Ranger. And it's not because they didn't draft him when they could have had the chance 2 years ago. It's because he's a Flyer, and guess what, the Flyers are going to tell the Rangers to fuck off for Clutter.
Massive overpayment. Like I said, if the Rangers want to pay a first round pick for Clutterbuck or a first plus whatever million prospects for Giroux, I'm sure both teams would say yes, but that's never gonna happen.
If I'm Drury, I think Larry's just kind of throwing shit at the wall to see if it sticks. I don't think Drury is in his war room right now preparing for the deadline, saying, who's someone we need? Cal Clutterbuck. And he's like, God damn it, you're right. We do need him. But if someone's like Drew, he's like, do I want to give up? You know, the only way I'm going to get him is if I give him 2 first and, you know, maybe, I don't know, Krav or Laff or something like or Kako. It's like, yeah, sure. Then they'll be like, all right, we're listening.
We can
Two first and Kako. Yeah, sure. We'll give you for a rental. Yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
But that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, no. But it also goes to the point of the trade that could have been and never happened. And we're back talking about Jack Eichel. Do you think we could ever escape him?
I jinxed it last week when I said the Eichel talk was done, didn't I?
No.
This is actually interesting. I will entertain this because this is I don't know if I believe it because we texted about it precursor.
See, the only reason why I believe it is because when I was listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway a few weeks ago, they have some insiders within NHL. Like they started this podcast. They started their podcast as fans, but as they've kind of, and I think they auditioned for a show on MSG a few years ago and were told no because of the podcast, because they heard, because people heard about the podcast and listened to it and they went, oh, these guys talk shit about the Rangers all the time.
That'll be us.
So but they said this theory that I'm about to read on the podcast, and they said, yeah, that's pretty much why he wasn't a Ranger. But another person, at Shestior King, Igor Shester King, hashtag Shesty for Vezina. This person tweeted, a theory that, or not really a theory. They just said, you may want to read this, Rangers fans. I spoke to a source close to Drury who said that Rangers and Sabres had a deal finalized that would land Jack Eichel in New York. Both GMs, Drury and Kevin Adams, were in favor of this, were in favor of the package that was on the table. So anticipation for the trade, and this is Drury making a rookie move, so it's kind of like why I believe it in a sense. He needed to clear cap. He wasn't thinking LTIR, and I don't think he and you know what? It sure, it's a rookie move, but I also think in a sense he might have had an inclination. Okay, well, Eichel's playing now, so if he was like, if he's going to get the surgery and he's going to be back in March or February,
you have to make the move either way for sure. And there should have been other people saying like, oh, wait, we can solve this at a later date. But if it is true, it's definitely a questionable choice to do what he did when he did.
Of course. So what he did was he in anticipation for this said, okay, I'm going to trade Booch to St. Louis for cap dump to make room for Eichel, which, again, would have left a hole in the Rangers roster. You still would have had the roster you have now. But the caveat is Eichel would have been playing now.
Yep.
So he makes this trade, and then shortly thereafter, the official trade call, Adam spoke to Sabres owner, Terry Pegula, who was completely opposed to sending Eichel downstate. Why? I don't know. I wouldn't consider...
It's just one of those things. You want some of those people away as far as possible just to...
And I get that aspect, but I'm also just like, in reality, how many times do the Sabres play the Rangers? Twice a regular season.
I agree.
Once in the playoffs, if the Sabres were to make a wild card and go up to the Metro or vice versa, the Rangers thing. Are a wild card. It's like, yeah, sure.
They then could you run into play each Eichel. Other in the playoffs. But what's but the odds of Buffalo of it are and so Vegas? Low. What's the odds of Buffalo and Vegas though?
Yeah, it's net zero. But when you look at the trade package you ended up getting from Vegas, it's like, that's so dumb. You had a better trade in New York if you just swallowed your pride and just said, you know what, we're going to get better prospects. And sure, the pick. If Vegas wins the cup this year, the pick from the Rangers is going to be better, and you have better prospects.
Yeah. I don't think the Vegas trade was bad in hindsight, but I do agree that
the package from Vegas wasn't bad, but it was that's it. Like, it was Jack Eichel. The speculation was Jack Eichel is going to command a first round pick this year, maybe a first round pick next year, and your mm-hmm. two best prospects. Everyone was saying that. And what, they got a first round pick, a third round pick? I think they sent a third round pick to Vegas.
Did they even with get a Eichel? Rounder? Yeah, whatever.
I don't even know and if they. Krebs. I think they got Krebs and Tuck.
Who are two very good players, but definitely not.
Yeah, not a bad haul, yeah. But not a Jack Eichel haul. I think the Rangers were going to trade a Jack Eichel haul for Jack Eichel. So, end of story is
happy if it's true. Sure, he's
not. So what ends up happening is because Adams couldn't finalize the deal with Drury, Adams felt guilty about accepting it, and then kind of being like, seeing that Drury already made this trade to make the room for him, was like, I feel bad that you already made this trade and I'm kind of fucking you. So let's just bury this and make sure it doesn't get out. Obviously, a few months later, it's gotten out.
Everything always gets out.
And it just makes both GMs look bad. It looks Adams look like a pussy because he basically let Pegula walk all over him. And sure, he's the owner of the team. He could do whatever he wants. But if I'm Adams, you fight a little bit more for the trade. You know, when the trade offer is probably a first round pick, Filipino, Niels Lundqvist, and maybe another prospect, you kind of go, hey, we're gonna make out like thieves in this trade. Like, we're getting really good prospects, a center that if we give him a little bit of time, we think he could be something, at least a second line center in this league, and we're getting a first round pick. And if the Rangers don't make the playoffs this year, it's a top 15 pick. And we already have, we're going to suck this year, so we're already going to have probably a lottery pick. So we have two picks in the top 15. Now you make the trade with Vegas. And I'm not saying, again, the trade with Vegas wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But Adams just looks like a pussy in the situation. And Drury just looks like a dumbass. He just looks dumb in the situation. He looks like a rookie GM who made a rookie GM mistake. And I don't blame Drury for making the Booch trade, but I think he put it's the classic. He put all his eggs in one basket, and was not expecting the rug to get pulled out from underneath him.
When did Eichel get traded, though? Was it before the season?
What
was it? Did Eichel get traded before the season,
Or is it during the season?
I think during, he got traded like right at the beginning of the season. The season already kicked off, I think.
So they probably have to be cap compliant. So, but yeah, they could have figured it out later on. That's the thing. But he also should have had, Drew should have had capologists, because like Lou Lamoriello has, it's Steve Pellegrini. He does all the cap stuff. He does all the contract stuff. And I guess that's what Drury needed, basically, just because you need some more. Don't need too many cooks in the kitchen. We need some cooks in the kitchen to at least like get the ball rolling. But if it's true, it's the definite major failure upon the Rangers organization. But and the Sabres.
I think it is. It just doesn't look good for anybody. It just doesn't look good for both sides. I wouldn't say one side is a loser and one side isn't. I mean, obviously, yeah, sure, the Rangers look like the worse of the two for making a move before the deal was finalized. But again, I don't think Drury really thought the Pegulas were going, who interviewed Drury, who like wanted Drury as a GM.
Yeah.
So like, do you think like, and Drury's stubborn. It's like, you know, he was offered, you know, there's a lot of trades that could have been made or could potentially be made that Drury's probably saying no to, because, you know, case in point, JT Miller, why is he not a Ranger yet? Because the fucking Canucks are saying, we want this, and this for JT Miller. And if Drury really wants JT Miller, he's a stubborn guy, and he's going to go, no, I'm going to give you this. I think the only player Drury would have went back to the drawing board for was Eichel, because that's the guy you go back to the drawing board for and say, okay, well, we offered him this. How can we make the deal a little bit sweeter? You know, it's just one of those things where I think Adams felt bad, because I think both guys wanted to make the trade. I think Adams was very happy getting Eichel out of there, because for the longest time, him and Sabres management looked terrible, and Adams kind of just adopted a really bad situation, because this is his first year as GM. It's like, he adopted a really shitty situation. Maybe.
It's just not so what you want to walk into at all.
To get this off of your plate and to move forward early on in the season during the summer, it would have been the move to make. You don't go into the season, because they still went into the season with the Eichel stuff looming over their heads. Like, they were still like, not, they hadn't traded him yet. They were in a standstill with him. It was just a bad situation. So overall, it's a trade that never happened. It's a trade that we'll probably learn more about down the line.
Oh, for sure.
You know, maybe if the Rangers win the cup this year and we get the DVD, if they make a cup run and they win, I hope that there's maybe some bonus content on the DVD or something that Drury's like, yeah, you know, we tried making this deal, and this is the story of the trade that never happened. Because that's just like the type of stuff I like too. Just like,
I will buy every DVD and just burn them all, every single one. I'll spend my whole salary to give them to
other people. You're gonna burn them so you could hand out more copies, so more people have them.
I see what you did there. Wow, that's an early 2000s joke. I like that.
Everyone's getting Kevin's bootleg Rangers.
Now that I'm being watched by the NHL to see if I'll actually do it. Yeah, I forgot you could burn some CDs, but yeah, I guess we'll know one day. Just based on the interview Eichel did with, it's weird though. He said that he thought he was going to Colorado. Why wouldn't he say he thought he was going to the Rangers? I don't know. It's a really such a weird situation, but he's in Vegas now. You see, he scored his first goal.
I didn't know he scored his first goal. I played his first. I would be too. I mean, earlier in the season, you weren't even sure if you were going to be playing this year, and to not only get out of a really bad situation, get the surgery you want, be ahead of schedule, and then score your first goal on your new team, and you're just very happy about it. And there's a laser on my face.
I was waiting for you to notice. It's either the cat laser, or living in DC, I would probably duck and cover.
it was the cat laser. If it was another laser, it would have been it would have been the Putin laser.
But yeah,
finally putting an end to this podcast.
He's had enough. He's got.
He just heard episode 4 of season 1.
Yeah, he's just a bit behind. He's got other things going on. But yeah, I guess we'll fight. Also, I thought it was also kind of funny. Drake Kajula he's a Saber. He's had neck surgery, and he got the surgery that the Sabres wanted instead of what Eichel had wanted. So I thought that was kind of interesting that was the same kind of deal, and he went with what the Sabres wanted after all that. I feel like it could have been a bigger issue, but went kind of under the radar.
I have a feeling they just said, if you think you're going to pull this Eichel shit, you are not
for
Jack
Drake Kajula.
You are Drake Kajula. You do what we say and you like it. And he went, okay.
Probably.
But yeah, I just thought that was a cool little tidbit.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I'll save my Islanders fan rant for next week. I don't think it's even worth it for this week. And we need some content for next week. So I just think everybody's overreacting a bit, but I don't think it's a topic for right now. So
all right.
I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I got nothing else. I guess my lock of the week. Yeah. I don't know. I think the Rangers have a tough kind of – they got a tough schedule, I think. I if they can bounce back and at least play a good game – here's the thing, and I was texting a buddy of mine about this. The Capitals have kind of slipped a little bit in the standings.
Yeah, no goaltending. Absolutely none.
Yeah, no, they're in kind of a tough spot. They're in a wild card spot right now, and the Rangers are 4 points ahead of them. The only thing the Rangers have going for them is that they have games in hand. So even if the Capitals win this game in regulation and creep up to they'd still be 2 points behind. The Rangers still have games in hand, which is great for them. Yeah, the Rangers need to take advantage of this zero goaltending and just hope Ovechkin has an off night and everyone else that's on that team has an off night, because you need a win like that. So if they can beat the Capitals, I'd be very happy. I think they can give Pittsburgh a better game than a lot of people think. I think right now Pittsburgh, and I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that like someone who is a rep for Pittsburgh is like, if we were to play anyone right now, we would rather play – it would make no sense either. He's like, we would rather play teams in the Atlantic, like the Toronto or Florida or Carolina. Just, we play a better game against them. The Rangers just will suffocate our – like he basically said anyone in the Metro right now, or Carolina's in the Metro. So
I kind of see it though, because
– like Florida, Tampa, and Toronto play a game that kind of doesn't – Pittsburgh can't keep up with. They can keep up with a little bit better.
It's much more open offensively. I think the Metro is very tight checking with everybody. They have a lot of big bodies, a lot of tight checking guys. But I think the Atlantic, I think it's a good point. I think they're very wide open, and I think it plays better to kind of Crosby's game and like Malkin's game. Just you're not getting, because you can tell they struggled so much against the last two out of the last 3 years against the Islanders. And then I don't know what happened the year in between. They lost to somebody else that I can't remember. But those tight checking games, they can't figure it out in the playoffs, it seems.
That's
interesting, though.
Yeah. I think the Capitals game, I think, will end up probably being a loss. I'm going to say they'll win against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and then they'll probably – it'll be a tighter game than it should be against Vancouver, but I think they could pull off a win. So yeah, if they can go two out of the next three, get, you know, 4 out of 6 points, I think they're in a good spot.
I think that's fair. But yeah, for the Islanders, they play in Seattle tonight, and then they're on their California road trip. Then they play in Colorado. So I think they beat Seattle tonight, and then they lose all four of the next games just to really hammer home just the misery. But they always play bad in San Jose, Anaheim, and LA. No shall it be Colorado. So I think they lose the next four, and we'll have four of those games done. The Colorado game will not be done by the time we record next week, unless we record on a Wednesday. But yeah, so I think they win tonight, though. I think Jordan Eberle scores, but I do think that they win tonight.
A revenge game after the loss last time
God, we I watched
the Islanders.
Which I was in Washington, D.C. for.
Live reaction. A live counseling of the season.
Yeah, that was the live pod. But yeah, I hope it's better than that, for God's sakes, for my own sake. Because if it's not, I'm just going to bed. I'm not staying up for it. There's no shot I'm doing that. But yeah, that's my guess, at least. I think they win tonight, but I think they lose before we record the next three. So that's my guess. I also have number of the week, which I swear to God, I do randomize it still. I don't know if you pick, but I do randomize it out of 100 until I get one that I haven't gotten. And the number I got this week was 66, which I thought was at least kind of comical, because it's Josh Hosang is the only one that's worn it, obviously. and he played only 53 games with the Isles, 7 goals, 24 points. 20 penalty minutes. I mean, what an enigma. He was a -4. I don't know what to make of him. I mean, he's got 20 points in 27 games for the Marlies this year. People want him in the NHL, but he was just never meant to be here. It's a real shame. He was a good kid. He's older than me. Good player, and you could tell. Would he ever survive the Islanders today, the mold that they create? Probably not. He's just not cut out for it, I don't think. And that's fine. I mean, he's still a very talented player. Shame he didn't put it together. Hope he makes the league one day. But probably with Toronto's his best bet, maybe next year under cap crunch. But real shame what happened to him on on the Islanders. First main camp, slept in, showed up late, made him run the stairs for a couple hours and sent him back to the OHL. That should have told you all you need to know there, but what a shame. But yeah, he's the only one that's worn 66, obviously. Pittsburgh fans, keep crying, please. They expected to be treated like 99, but whatever. But yeah, that's all I got for this week.
He's kind of like the Kravtsov of the Islanders.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Just a guy who...
just never worked out. And
it's a little different. Yeah, it's just in the sense of like it never worked out, and it's probably going to just end up working out somewhere else. And
you're, I don't know,
gonna
be maybe. Like,
I mean, for Hosang, he's getting older. What is he, 26, 27?
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, so I mean, he's getting kind of up there.
He's got probably one more chance with Toronto, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, I would say that's about it. Or he's just going to be a lifetime AHLer. Or if he wants to play overseas. Wasn't he playing overseas for a little bit?
Yeah, he played in Sweden for a bit, and he got kicked off his Swedish team. And went to another Swedish team. So there's got to be something there, right?
Yeah, it kind of tells you he's just, I don't know, there's probably just something there. He just doesn't want to be told what to do or something. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, no. Yeah, that's about it. That's all I got. So yeah, I'll just wrap it up now. Yeah, as per usual, thank you for listening to the podcast. Make sure you're subscribed on whatever podcast platform you listen to. Leave us a 5-star rating. Write us a nice review. Tweet at us. DM us. Ask us questions. Talk to us. Chit chat. You know what the vibes are. Make sure you follow the Twitter account. Follow our personals if you want. Follow the Instagram account, even though we don't use it that often. And yeah, Kevin, anything else?
Nope. All good here.
All right. Well, thank you again, everyone. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace. Well, thank you, dude.